You're listening to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. This is part two with Angela Harrell, CEO of the 100 Club of Arizona, episode 68.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you I'm excited that the Get Balanced Podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit FirstNet.com. Now, let me go in and introduce our guest for this week. Hey folks, this is part two with Angela Harrell, the CEO of the 100 Club of Arizona, and this time we're getting into what work-life balance means to Angela and self-care and how she manages that in her with her busy schedule, and then at the end, make sure you're listening to her special message that she has for her son and daughter. On the podcast, I want to get to a couple other things I want to get your take on.
Yeah.
And I want to bring it to one of the things on work-life balance is that, you know, my research that was published a couple of years ago that has led all of my seminars and workshops and everything is that I looked at self-care. In other words, you know, how well we take care of ourselves, our physical health, our mental health, our social and our spiritual health. And how does that, what was that in relationship to how well and how effective people were in their careers and with their families, you know, how successful. Mm-hmm. And what the model came out was that the people that were most successful at in career and family, and of course we can get into definitions of success, but you know, they all seem very happy and effective and everything like that, is that they all mastered taking care of themselves. They put that as number one, which for the public safety officials, putting yourself as number one, is, you know, the last thing on their mind, right?
Right, of course. Everything else comes first.
Everybody is out there. And one of the things I share with in some videos and when I'm live is that it's like, hey, as first responders, you know, you've taken a promise or you promise and you've taken an oath to serve and protect your communities. Yet sometimes you fail to recognize that you and your families are a part of that community. And I get a lot of head nodding when people are like, oh, yes, yeah, you're right.
As I'm nodding my head too. Yeah. Yes.
It's like people are like, yes, you're right. And all that. So that's a big push of mine is to get them to focus on themselves because they do want to serve their communities. But the more you serve and take care of yourself, the more effective you're going to be at that, as well as your home. And some of our friends out there, you know, Dr. Dara and
yes, Dr. love Dr. Dara,
you know, and Catherine and, you know, Katie and stuff.
Yes,
and
cool.
And, you know, just looking at what they do and I share with them, I'm like, you know, I try to help people out on the, the front of it, you know, before, is to shore up their house, if you will, and shore up their health so that they can handle some of these adverse incidents that they all face. You know, my son's a firefighter now, and he's a former, he fought, you know, in the news. He's one of those veterans that spent 9 months fighting in Afghanistan. And I talked to him last night, and I said, hey, what are you hearing? Because he still has friends with the 82nd Airborne that are at the airport over there. And it's like, you know, it's challenging. And the mental health component of whether you're military or public safety official here in the country is extremely challenging, I think. And and with that, what I want to, you know, because I want to just share a little, you know, the little backstory of where my, how I approach work-life balance. But one of the things I share with all the first responders that I put my, you know, I'm in front of is I simply say, hey, here's what work-life balance is for me. It's simply, are you aligning your day-to-day behaviors with your priorities in life? And I go, you know what? If you think about what your priorities are and your daily behaviors match that, you're probably feeling pretty good.
And right.
Because a lot of times people say, oh, well, you know, health's a priority, but okay. Are you exercising? Are you eating healthy? You know, so mm-hmm. it's a line, mm-hmm. it's walking the talk, if you will. And which is challenging. I mean, it's
very hard because you're always being pulled in different directions. Yeah.
So with that background, I wanted to ask you, CEO of 100 Club. And if I have a few other things correct, you have some side, you're an entrepreneurial, sounds like at heart, as well. Definitely. With some real estate and restaurant associations and mm-hmm. things like that. But you told me, or I read an article, excuse my voice as I'm coughing. You mentioned your greatest job was being a mother. So
there's no doubt.
With that, I have to ask you the question, what is work-life balance to you, and how do you manage it? And, you know, do you think of, you know, your self-care? How do you fit that in? Do you fit it in? Do you, you know, and things like that. Could you share a little bit about you personally?
Of course. Yeah. You know what? Someday I want to get you off the record and find out how you really do it. No, I'm just kidding. I know you actually practice what you preach. There's no question. You know, I think about it a lot. And when you said, you know, do your daily behaviors, are they in line with what your ultimate goals are and where your priorities lie? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, here I am on a podcast, which I know you can't see me. I mean, you can, but I mean, I'm in my gym clothes, right?
Yeah.
And I put on a jacket so that it doesn't look like I'm wearing a workout top, because I know that for me, one of the most important things is to move my body. Mm-hmm. And if I don't take some time to do just that in whatever it is, whether it's a brisk walk, whether it's jumping on my Peloton, whether it is spending time with friends, I'm a very social person. And one thing that I think we all realized throughout this last year, year and a half, is that that lack of outside interaction becomes a stressor when you don't think it would be. Everybody wants more time. Well, guess what? Now you got the time. What are you going to do with it? And I actually needed to look inward and spend that time dedicating it to my health, you know, trying to eat better. You know, people talk about the quarantine 15 or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And fortunately, I was able to really isolate that time and say, you know what, I can only give so much of me until I've taken care of what's important to me. And I look back at this last roughly 45 days now, just in Arizona. So since July 1st, we've lost 14 firefighters and police officers to various types of losses. We've had a few that are COVID, we've had accidents, we've had, unfortunately, suicides. And I can do that. I can help all 14 of those families. And there's a couple ways I can do that. It's that if I make sure that I take care of myself first and that my family's good, and I've got to get that in order, and then just throw it at me. Like, I can work with you and I can walk you through these steps, because I know that there's light on the other side, but you have to you have to lean in, you have to utilize the resources that are around you and not be afraid to ask for help. One of the biggest problems, and I think almost every single person that we've supported, has said is, oh, I can't accept help. I don't know how to ask for help. That's just not the way we're built. And I'm like, oh, I know. I'm not asking. You don't get to ask. This is just how it works.
Yeah.
And as soon as you change that mindset, they're like, well, okay. This is just how it's done. Okay. You know, they're very good rule followers, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. And my advice for families who lose someone or are all of a sudden in a chronic health type situation is ask for help. They're like, well, but I don't need anything. What do I need? And I said, I don't know. Make it up. What's your favorite drink from Starbucks or Dutch Bros? When's the last time you washed your windows? How about having your car washed? And they're like, yeah, but those things don't matter. And I said, I understand they don't really matter. And those aren't high on your priority list. But if you tell somebody that you need that support and you give them a job, all they want to do is help you. It's going to help them feel better. And inherently it will benefit you, even though it's low on your priority list, it will help them be engaged. It will help that social piece. It'll help that innate need that we all have to pay it forward, to be a resource, to lean on people. So I share that as that social piece. Like, you need to get out. You need to, doing something for somebody else can help take away some negativity in your own life. Let's say you're having challenges, whatever it may be, like you're arguing with your teenage son or daughter. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not very much fun. And we all know we have similar stressors and we go through these hurdles in life. But if you reach out to people around you and you pay it forward, you realize that you can still give, it is still positive, and then it changes your mindset a little bit. So people can do that outwardly in that social piece. They can get out of their box in that exercise, physical endorphin kind of avenue, which is important to a lot of people. Making positive choices, like eating a little bit better. You know, mm-hmm. I have three cups in front of me right now. People laugh all the time. It's like, I might drown, but you know, one is, you know, inherently a little bit of caffeine because it's early, you know, and then I've got water because I just have water, but this one's full. Right. And then this one's a smoothie, right? This is my shake. So I feel good, even though I haven't moved my body yet, I've made a good, positive, healthy food choice. Right. So as long as I don't go make a cake when we're done, everything should be okay. I mean, it's all about, like you always say, and I've learned from even listening to your webinars, it's about that balance. So again, how do I do it? I'm kind of all over the place, but it is, I need that social interaction. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to help others to make myself feel a little bit better. I need to make sure that I am eating better, not always good. Trust me, we all have weaknesses. I have a lot of vices, but eating better, and then inherently, fueling your soul through whatever that spiritual outlet is that you might have, whether it's just to take a moment to meditate, whether it is to just set everything aside and turn off all the electronics and just be busy with your hands. A lot of people have a lot of, it's not a stress reliever, but it's an ability to do something productive that is rewarding without distraction. And mm-hmm. I think about those, you know, paint by number or those pottery places where you go in and all you can do is paint. Like you can't be on your phone. You can't do this. You right. have to just paint. Now, I'm not an artist. I don't paint. Okay. Right. I'm just using that as an example. I bake, you know, it's amazing. I'm not 500 pounds because I love to bake because I can do something that focuses my energies, that is productive, that ultimately feeds and fuels the people that I love around me.
Yes.
And that is rewarding and helps you disconnect from all of those negative stressors or concerns in your life.
Yeah. Very nice.
I'm all over the place. I do all sorts of things. And I also do things, a lot of things wrong. But nonetheless, we learn every day. And it's about just taking one little step forward every single day.
Now, Angela, and thank you for that. Is there a spiritual component outside of the peaceful time for you?
You know, I believe that I think a lot of individuals, especially in the public safety world, are very intuitive. And I think we spend a lot of time ignoring that and just saying, oh, no, this is what we have to do. And but your intuition is going to tell you one thing or another. It's going to ultimately drive you. And I believe that there is a heightened level of awareness. It can be spiritual. It can be a reliance or an outlet, whether it is an organized religion or whether it is a practice that you have every day. It doesn't matter. As long as you have comfort, that you have reflection, and that you have an opportunity to know that you're being supported by the universe, whether that's through, like you said, an energy that you believe in or an organized religion. I really truly believe that if you take a minute to reflect on and appreciate, gratitude is everything in my world. I try not to talk about it too much because I overdo it. I believe it all starts with gratitude. And where does that gratitude stem from? And usually it stems from perspective. And what are those outside forces that you use to support you spiritually? Like I said, and spiritual it has such a broad definition. That's why I don't focus generally on one. And for me, it's just about appreciating the gifts that we're given every day. Mm-hmm. Gratitude.
I love the gratitude as well. Absolutely. Let me ask you a couple things about how old are your children now?
Oh my goodness. I'm like, oh yeah, I have two little kids. I say that all the time. People are like, how old are they? I'm like, oh, well, my son just turned 15 and my daughter is 17 now.
Oh, okay. So
they're taller and bigger than me. You know, my baby is 6 feet tall and they're wonderful.
They're going to be entering senior and.
Yes, yeah, senior and freshman this year.
Lots
of changes.
Same school?
No. You know,
freshmen don't go to high school.
They should. Okay. Well, everything changed. Be careful what you ask for, what you expose your children to, because you just never know what choices they will make. And that's your job as a parent, is to cautiously support and guide their requests, desires, or whatever you want to call it. But this was supposed to be the easier. You know, I have two kiddos, one senior going off to the local high school, and my son, the freshman, going with her because they could drive there and then come home together every day. It was supposed to be smooth and simple and easy. And then my daughter decided to go to school online, and my son wanted to apply to go to a school called the Army and Navy Academy in California. And of course, we live in Arizona. Well, he got accepted and he's really thriving there. And all of a sudden, it feels a little bit like an empty nester situation overnight. Like, I don't know how it happened. So yeah. No, there's nothing, like I said, just be careful. Don't plan something because there might be somebody else making those decisions for you.
Okay. Yes. So your daughter. Well,
and then you have one in the fire service now. And mm-hmm. I mean, again, you just never know what path they will take. And I'm so glad that your son is working in the fire service and is not with some of those colleagues that he still probably associates with very closely in this global environment, especially in Afghanistan.
Yes. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, I have four children.
Oh my goodness.
My daughter is in Los Angeles working professionally. My son, next firefighter. And then my next daughter, my third child, I just dropped her off. And these past 2 days, I've been down in Nashville, Tennessee. She received a 4-year ROTC scholarship to Vanderbilt University.
Oh, how fabulous.
So it has been a great, I just got off a couple days. So I got back last night about 12:30 at night. So, you know, I was tired this morning.
Well, you look good. I know people can't see you, but all right. So you've got four kids, you have a full head of hair, right? You're probably just now starting to sleep through the night. Okay. But I want to hear about number four.
Well, except for when number four stays out too late. Yes, I don't really sleep down until I get that text. I'm home, right? So, she's a senior. She's going to be a senior, just like your daughter there. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have, I'm going to grab it
off my wall here.
Great. I just think that, you know, it sounds like you've done an incredible job as a dad, and, you know, you've got some pretty successful kiddos. So what did you grab for me there?
So what I did is that, talking about reflection that you were talking about earlier, is that about a month ago, I was reflecting on this upcoming year. School, yes, thinking of July to, you know, is July. I started thinking about the upcoming year, and I started, and so essentially I drew this circle. I'm showing Angela podcasters.
I like it. It has several layers of
circle. So I started looking at,
it's not a pie or a cake.
No,
right?
No, it's just like it's the center circle. Okay. It's like, for me, it's like, what's my one, because when we think about purpose, right? I don't know about you, but it's like, you know, it's like, it's always been difficult to say, this is my purpose in life. And then I have the passion for work-life balance and all that, but it's like, okay, wait a minute. What is my 1 year? It's like, if I looked at the next year, because this year is getting, it is so pivotal. And I'd like for listeners to really think about this, because there's times, I think life has cycles. And for me, I'm thinking about, what is it for me? And I'm like, wow, this year for me is just to constantly improve the workshops that I do, develop a sustainable process to help people not just be excited after a workshop to engage in change, but to help them sustain that change, you know, looking at it that way. And then I was thinking about for my relationship with my wife, and then I went to each of my children, and the two girls, the reason why I want to bring this up now is because it's like such a window of time. It's like, I want to make sure that my daughter in Nashville gets off to a great first year, right, at a university, 5 hours away from home. It was, you know, we were both teared up, you know, about 12 hours ago right now. I mean, you know, it was crazy dropping her off and getting her all settled. But then my daughter, Hannah, who's going to be the senior, it's like, you know, my purpose is to help guide her. I like your choice of words a little bit. It's sort of like, you know, give them all that they're striving for, but guide them correctly, you know, what we think is the correct way. But it's to have that great senior year experience in all those aspects of and then guide her into that college decision process and all of that. And it ties so well into one of the things I teach in the workshop is this thing I call window of time. It's like, you know, we do have windows that close. And especially when we think of a senior, it's like, you know, that window. Now you don't have that day to day in the house with your son right now. You know, that window, his idea.
It snuck up on me.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden the window closed and you're like, what is happening? So,
so it's like windows of time for like our seniors, you know? So I just wanted to toss that out. Is there anything out there like this senior year that you're like, you know what? I want to make sure my daughter and I, we get to experience this and this and, you know, things like that. Cause a lot of times we get running through life so darn fast. We're at graduation before we blink of an eye, you know?
Absolutely. You know, and you have experience. I mean, you're further along in your parenting journey than I am. I mean, you've got three that are basically out of the house and one home. And that was one of the things that I decided during Christmas last year is I'm not a big fan of stuff. I mentioned earlier that, you know, as the more you travel, the more perspective you have and the more you realize how little you need. And it's not about stuff. And I looked back and I said, you know what, for Christmas this year, again, it's a while ago now, everybody gets a trip. Everybody gets one-on-one time. Whether they want it or not, it's my gift to them. And maybe in 20 years, they'll appreciate it more. But
they're like, Mom, that's your gift to you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. They're like, why are you hanging out in the hotel? I'm like, because it's quiet here. No, the reality is I'm like, I want to do something with my daughter. I want to spend that one-on-one time. Yeah. You know, putting away the devices, doing something. She loves all things country, Western, rodeo, you name it. So I'm like, all right, let's go to Texas. So we're still trying to figure that out. Obviously, there's some travel limitations there. Yeah. But She's like, let's go to this rodeo. It'll be great. And I'm like, okay, great. And she's like, I have a friend who lives there. We can see her. I said, perfect. That sounds great. So we wanted to do that. And then my son wants to go fishing. I'm like, oh, great. Okay. Sure. I'd love to. Right. These are things where, and again, it's easy to wrap the whole family together and say, okay, we're all going to go do this. But rarely do we take that time one-on-one to learn who these little people that we've raised have become. Because like you said, you know, all of a sudden here you are, you know, moving your child into Vanderbilt, and what a beautiful gift that is. But it sneaks up on you. And again, I had two kids that were going to be in the house every day, all day, and then go off together and come home together. And now within a month, I've got one who's gone, and he was the one who was supposed to be home for 4 more years.
Yeah.
And I've got my daughter who's like, no, work is more important now. Now I just want to work. And yeah, I'll finish school. I'll take care of that. Whatever. That's kind of, you know, an ancillary thing that she has to do. Okay. But I'm always fascinated by how we really do. We don't squander our time, but I think it's Dr. Dara that always says, you know, do as much as you can for as many as you can for as long as you can. And forgive me, I might be misquoting it a little bit, but I love that.
Yes.
And the catch is we do that so often in our professional lives, but we forget to do that, or we put it on the back burner in our personal lives. And that is something that, you know, I've gained this perspective in the last, you know, few weeks more than ever. It's like, I need this time, whether they want it or not. I'm hoping that they will see value in just hanging out with mom for more than I'm going to buy you dinner. Okay.
Right.
Or you need new football cleats, or you need, you know, whatever the case is. It's just to kind of hang out and learn who they've become, because they aren't the same person, you know, that was there with you during a very traumatic time in their lives and yours. You have gone through this journey together, and hopefully at the end of the day, there is a legacy and a perspective that's been built that will forever provide guidance to them as they go through this journey and become independent young people. They're still young. I can't say adults. Like, I just can't wrap my head around it. But again, it's just simply about perspective and gratitude. It really is.
Absolutely.
Time to cherish and respect every breath you've been given.
Well said. Yes. Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Angela, is there anything that I did not ask you that you wished I would have, or something you'd like to spend more time on?
I want to know more about you. No, I'm just kidding. I know that'll be, I mean, I'm not kidding. I really do. Obviously we can't do that all day, but hopefully that we can continue this journey together to affect people in a positive way and give them the resources and tools that they need in order to be better.
Yes.
And it is an independent journey on many levels, but I hope that people take the time to do that and invest in your workshops. And you know, we have it available, you know, through our app here in Arizona, but they can go on. If they've missed one, no big deal. They can go back in and they can see it again. You know, we archive these because we believe that these are not like one-time only type opportunities. We believe that you can, you know, listen to your workshop over and over and over again. And each time you're going to get a little bit more from it, or you'll have a different outlook on the discussion, or you might be able to bring something new to the table, whether it is an evolution in your family or an evolution in your career. There's always a time to educate yourself, to improve upon yourself, and do that self-care or self-improvement.
Oh, absolutely. And I would like to personally thank you and the 100 Club and, you know, everyone there for sponsoring the workshops and all the work. And as you know, the piece from Yuma Police Department, those quotes that came from the training supervisor, that it changes lives. The work,
it does. That,
you know, this whole collaborative effort from the donors to the administration, to the leadership, to people in the field doing it, to the departments that rally people together to put people in seats to say, yes, we know it's not real tactical, tough, or even sexy to talk about work-life balance, but
just get in the seat and something, you'll come out different. You know, that's
yeah, it might not be sexy, but it's important because if you don't have it, oh boy, it's the
exactly.
other end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
and you know, you did bring up something just now, and the only way we're able to do what we do on a daily basis is because we have the involvement from our constituents, from our firefighters and our police officers, but we also have the support of our donors and the community. Because if we didn't have that external support, you know, recognizing how important this mental health and wellness program is that we offer, we wouldn't be able to do it. So we do appreciate everyone who's involved in order to help fuel this collaborative effort in order for the in order to benefit the greater good.
Absolutely. All right. I have just two things. They're not necessarily simple, but they're very, I think they're very powerful. First one, Angela. So your 17-year-old daughter and your 15-year-old son, I want you to imagine a couple years down the road to where they stumble across this podcast, or if this goes out sometime, if I put it out on YouTube to where they get to see their mom on the camera. I want you to talk directly to them, Angela. And I want you to, whatever message you would like for them to hear, imagine they're hearing it a couple years down the road. Look in that camera and talk directly to them, if you would.
Oh my goodness. This is the part that's really going to make me well up. A couple things. I didn't know that this might be live so far. Sorry about the ponytail. Okay. And then separately, no. Oh my gosh. Okay. So to my son, I am so incredibly proud of you. Your dad would be very proud of you. And I know you're doing the right thing for the right reason. And I hope you never stop. I hope that you continue to push every limit, because those challenges we had with you as a kid are going to be incredible characteristics as an adult. And I feel the same for my daughter. She has this amazing spirit about her. She just kind of has this happy-go-lucky personality. She doesn't let things bother her ever. And she's like, yeah, well, she has perspective in the sense that she knows what's important. She knows what a real problem looks like, which allows her to let everything else roll off her back, whether it's academic or whatever it may be. It's like, yeah, that doesn't really matter. But again, that's going to be an incredible characteristic that will help her carry through all of those ups and downs that life will present. And I am so proud of her too, because she's protective of our little family unit. And she believes in public service. And she has, as I mentioned, this work ethic that's unbelievable. And she's just simply kind. And I hope that she takes care of herself, because it is so easy to put everyone else first. And I do hope that she takes time to stop and smell the roses and pay it forward, as I wish for my son. I hope that their journey is smooth and doesn't have too many extreme ups and downs. They've had enough of those so far. And they've grown. It's helped them become the incredible people that they are. And I just hope that they will know that all of the time that we have as a family dedicated to help all of those people in our community wasn't at our own sacrifice. It was ultimately to just make everyone better, to work on the greater good. And I hope they always recognize that.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Angela, if you would give you the final word to all your first responders in Arizona that you guys support, anything you'd like to say to them?
It seems so simple, but thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. And when I say sacrifice, it doesn't mean you have to have lost someone. It means all that you do. Every call you go on, you sacrifice a small piece of yourself because you have a heart. You can't pretend that you don't. And when you take a part of you into every call, it takes ultimately from you as a person, it also takes from your family. And I hope that they are forever recognized for that sacrifice and that their families are patient and understanding, but yet they never use it as a crutch. They can't use that as an excuse either. They have to reach out and use those resources that are available to them in order to make sure that they continue to be 100%. You know, I've often said that we support public safety. We need to make sure that they're good, that they're on their A game, because they don't get to show up with their C game or their B game. They don't get to be like, oh, my back hurts, I can't get out of the truck. No, because whatever that other situation is on the other side, they need your A game. So make sure you're taking care of yourself. And the last piece I would say is, and what I've recognized over the years, is that it's very lonely at the top. And this isn't my perspective. This is the perspective of a chief, for example. This is the perspective of, you know, you get to the top, you're supposed to know everything, but you don't. And I have found that people will come back and they need somebody to talk to just as much as somebody who's brand new in the industry, because it's isolating. They're supposed to have the answers. They don't have the answers. But I hope that they also continue to reach out and know that it's okay to not be okay. And that it's even more important now in that executive level than it was before, because you are now serving all of those members of your department, and you're also serving all the members of your community. So you just continue to take it on, but make sure you have an outlet. And I hope they all know that we at the 100 Club can be those people. It's a safe place, and we have the resources, and you're never alone.
Absolutely. And when people would like to learn a little bit more about the 100 Club of Arizona, where would you like to direct them to?
Oh my goodness. We try to make it pretty easy. Obviously 100club.org, 100club.org is the best place, but you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of the things that are out there. But yeah, we would love it if you come and follow us, like us, all that good stuff on the social media platforms, because it helps us to engage more people and get these very important messages out there, and to continue to be a resource for those that are in need, whether it's a loss or an injury or some mental health challenges, or even just getting through every day being a public safety family. You can find us. We're not hiding. Okay. We're not hiding. I promise you.
And I will also put that in the show notes. So with that, Angela Harrell, CEO of the 100 Club of Arizona, as well as former special agent with the U.S. Department of Justice.
Yes. I love that role.
Thank you very, very, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Dr. Donnie. Thank you for all you do, and keep doing it. The world needs more people like you.
Well, thank you very much. Very kind.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balance program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.